Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are in for a treat. We are going to be talking about honor. And the title of this evening's message is called Getting Back to Honor. I think it's a very timely message, considering all the crazy that's going on in the world. And this is something that we need to be reminded of in our everyday lives. This is something that's pretty big. It seems like our society today has taken a turn from what actually honor is. They've replaced it with something a little different, and they call it situational ethics. So basically what's ended up happening is that we're more concerned about our own comfort and what is true to us rather than what is actually truth. Are you listening? And this is something that's become a real issue in the world today. Because the truth is, the world's in a mess today because of the lack of honor. And you actually look at this and we start studying this out a little bit. You know, we're very close to a complete generation actually losing it. Oh, it's quiet in here all of a sudden. What a way to start a message. Everything is doomed. No, it's not. But we need to be made aware of these things and know what's happening. So, honor. Honor is a big thing. It talks a lot of it about in the Bible, a lot of scripture in there about it. And, I mean, it's something that we as believers, we need to be living. It needs to be a part of our DNA, our everyday lives. So basically, situational ethics, like we had said, is choosing comfort over truth. It's so easy to do what's easy, and it's difficult to do what's right. Have you ever found yourself in a situation of the sort to where you could do what's right or you could do what's comfortable? Anyone ever been there? Humans are creatures of comfort. We like to be cozy. We like to be comfortable. We don't like to be on the edge all the time. Am I right? And so therefore, our first instinct is to do what comforts us or makes us feel good. You know, people look for that, right? But sometimes what is comfortable isn't right. And so we need to make sure what we are doing in our everyday lives line up with the Word of God. Even if it's difficult, we need to do the right thing. There's certain situations in our lives that we need to look at and certain things that we do in our lives, and we need to take a hard look. Because the Bible, first off, talks about how sin is sin. And there's no different levels of sin. Sin is sin. And a lot of times, we can find ourselves doing things that we shouldn't be doing. But that does, oh, that's just a little, you know, I just told a little white lie. Is there a purple lie? Like, do we grade lies by color? No. I mean, a lie is a lie, right? It's not the truth. And sometimes we tell a lie to get ourselves out of an issue or try to get ourselves back into a place of comfort. You know? It's like you get pulled over by a police officer, and it wasn't me. You were speeding. No, it wasn't me. It was the other guy. Who's driving your car? I don't know. I think it's something not right there. I wasn't speeding. 85 mile an hour in a 60 zone, right? It's like, no, you were speeding. Well, it wasn't me. Oh, come on now. You know, sometimes we try to get out of things. We try to make our lives a little bit more comfortable. But, you know, based on our situation, we try to get the desired outcome that we want, not necessarily the correct one. So what we need to do is we need to look at what honor is. And so let's define honor according to what the dictionary states. And so honor is actually high respect, esteem, the quality of knowing and doing what is morally right, adherence to what is right or to a controversial standard of conduct. It's to regard with great respect or to fulfill an obligation or keep an agreement. Now the word honor comes from the Greek word timē, It's spelled T-I-M-E, but it's pronounced T-May. And which actually means value. You see, when you honor something, you put a value on it. For instance, I'm sure we all have something in our homes that we value, something that you like. Say you have a very expensive, I don't know, who's your favorite artist, Brother Dave? Artist, any type of artist. Pink Floyd. And you have their album, Collector's Edition. Okay? Where are you going to put that? You're going to hide that away? What are you going to do with it? You're going to put it in a place. You're going to display it. You're going to put it in a place, probably, you know, have a special case or something for it. Put it in there, right? You're going to show it off. Put it up. You know, I got some things that I consider valuable that I like. Kendra does not. If it was up to me, I would have certain hockey paraphernalia everywhere. But I mean, you know, that's where I have my garage, and I got all my signs and stuff out there, and, you know, funny stuff out there. But I mean, but there's things in our house that we, you know, we put up and that we value. And it's the same thing each and every one of us. We put things that we value in a place of honor. When you go to a museum somewhere and they are doing a showcase of certain artwork or whatever, they don't have it poked away in some corner somewhere, but they have it front and center. So the same thing applies to us. When we show honor, we need to show the same value as we would to an inanimate object. Are you listening? It's awfully quiet in here tonight. Now you're all thinking, oh no. Are your toes hurting yet? Shouldn't have wore sandals to church. I'm joking. All right. For any believer, we have to evaluate ourselves, and we got to ask ourselves some questions to ourselves to see, are we honoring? Are we giving value? When we value something, we don't keep it in any old place. We put it in the place of esteem, the place of high regard. In that place that we're going to show it off. So, how do we do that? How do we treat a person then? How are we supposed to treat people? Do we just treat people like any old thing? No. How do we treat people? How do we conduct ourselves around them? How do we conduct ourselves around our family? How do we conduct ourselves around our coworkers? How do we conduct ourselves around our bosses? Right? How do we conduct ourselves around people that we don't like? Ooh. You know that one person in your life that just rubs you the wrong way? Right? You know who I'm talking about. Right? Gene, stop looking at Jerry. How do we show honor and respect to somebody that we just don't get along with? See, that can be difficult, right? When you don't see eye to eye. How do we show honor and respect to somebody, you know, people struggle with politics. We were seeing that all over the internet, right? How do we show honor and respect and keep things civil? Guys, these are things that we have to keep in mind as believers. Because we are called to a higher calling, to a higher standard. We are set apart. The Bible tells us we are not of this world. I believe that because I look around this room, I'm telling you. We're not of this world. We're set apart. We're different. God's called us to be different. We have a job that we're supposed to be doing. Amen? So in our lifestyle and the things that we do need to be a reflection of Christ, even though it might be difficult sometimes. Like I said, it's not always easy doing the right thing when you've been done wrong. Ooh. You ever been done wrong? Yeah. It's not easy. So we need to make sure that we're learning these things. We'll talk more here in a minute. Another question we need to ask ourselves, all right, so how about a person? How do we honor a person? How do we honor God? That's another thing. We need to make sure we're doing that. Are we honoring those who God has placed in our lives? Is our life a life of honor? A life of honor is not, well, for a believer, is not an optional character trait. It's a part of our everyday lives. To get better at understanding honor, we need to also look at the opposite of what honor is. So let's look at some antonyms for honor. Well, it's dishonor, ultimately. And the Greek word meaning for dishonor is atima. So that means to disgrace, a dishonor, reproach, a shame, vile, not to show respect or value, or to treat as common or treat as ordinary. Well, we are created by the Almighty God. None of us are ordinary. You're all extraordinary. And so we need to treat our brothers and sisters and everybody around us like that. Even if they're not believers, doesn't matter where they're from in the world, we still show them love and respect. Not always the easiest thing when you don't see eye to eye. But we have to learn to show that honor, that respect. So we have to put value. We have to not show disgrace. We have to not show dishonor or shame or be vile. We need to make sure that we're putting a value on something. So let me ask you this question. What does an honorable person look like? I mean, we can have different views on this and what different things. I mean, first thing that comes to my mind when I hear of an honorable person, my mind automatically goes to a decorated soldier. With all of his badges or whatever you call it, those medallions, medals and things. And you see all their acts of service and things. I mean, you know, they show honor and respect for the things that they've done. Like my mind, that's where my mind goes, right? They've made a lot of sacrifice. But now here in the book of Psalms, let's turn over to Psalms chapter 15. And we're going to look at, start in verse 1 here. And Psalm chapter 15 gives us a very good picture of what an honorable person looks like. All right? So who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Keep going. Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right. Say, what is right? Speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand firm forever. Wow. Does that describe you? I heard one yeah. Verse 2. Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, striving to live a holy life, a sincere heart, a person who actually cares to tell the truth, is what we're looking at here. Sincere hearts. Sometimes telling the truth isn't easy, but it's always right. Verse 3. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. That's taming the tongue right there. That wild thing. Am I right? The most dangerous weapon there is on the face of the earth is the tongue. It is so dangerous, it can do a lot of damage. You ever been hurt by a tongue before? Yeah, absolutely. Ever bite your tongue? That really hurts too. Sometimes some of us need to bite our tongues. Amen? Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord, and keep their promises even when it hurts. Well, that first part there in verse 4, those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord. Don't condone sinful lifestyles, but you can still love on people even though they're not living the way they're supposed to be. You know, sometimes we get our righteous indignation at a joint because we look at somebody, oh, they're sinning. Well, look what they're doing. So, are you God? Were you called to judge them? Since when? Right? No. Now, you might not, we don't have to agree with their lifestyle or things that they're doing, but one thing we do is still love them. And we have to be an example and a shining light onto those people as well. That's showing honor and respect to somebody. Instead of be like, oh, look at you. I can't believe you're doing that. Oh my goodness. Is that chewing tobacco in your mouth? It's funny, we're just talking about chewing tobacco. What are you doing hiding that pack of cigarettes in your pocket? Oh. You know? It's so easy for us to judge people and look at people for doing things that we don't agree with. And that actually might, you know, it may not be right. But we don't have to be judging them, but rather we need to show love and be an example to them, right? That's what we're called to do. I mean, God's not up in heaven either with a big stick waiting to smack someone over the head when they mess up. God is not playing a big game of whack-a-mole. All right? If so, some of us, we'd have concussions every day. Right? You know what I'm saying? Some of us, man, we just have to wear a helmet as soon as we get up in the morning. But praise God. God sees us, he loves us, even in our faults and our failures. And he still loves us. So why do we go around judging people? Oh, it's quiet in here. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. All right, let's keep going here, seeing this is going over like a ton of bricks. You know what's crazy? Is I teach an 8-week class on this. You want to get your toes stepped on? You need to go to Bible school for honor class. As I walk out of there, I walk into class with steel toe boots on because it even hurts me. All right. So how do we honor? I'm glad you asked because for heaven's sakes, we're in trouble here. Well, there's three different ways that we can display honor. Those of you who are taking notes, you need to write these down. Honor can be displayed in three different ways. The first way is in deed, in our action, our deeds. The second way is in word. And the third way is in thought. Now, dishonor can be showed in the same ways also. And like I said earlier, this generation is dangerously close to becoming an honorless generation. It is up to us to reinforce the principle in every aspect of our lives and in every area of our lives so we can show honor in at least these three ways. The way we act, the way we talk, and the way we think. A lot of people struggle with this. All right? But it's a sad reality that we are in because society today is moving towards a society that is losing honor. And like I said, there's a major disconnect with people's view of honor and how it is still vital for today also. Our position as believers is to live a holy and acceptable life, consecrated unto God, a life of honor, not just a life of partial honor, or a life that is based on situational ethics, but a life that is based on what the Word of God says, and we react to what the Word says. It's so easy for us to react to what man says, or what the situation states, instead of us reacting to how we're supposed to based on the Word of God. We see time and time again where situations get changed around, people's belief systems get changed around based on the situation that they are in. And I'm sure many of us in here are very much so guilty of changing our outlook on our faith based on the situation we're in. But the thing is we need to shore up our faith because living a life of honor is actually a faith thing. Being an honorable person, you have to be a faithful person. They have to work together because you really can't have one without the other and be successful. Because you can't be going around trash talking everybody out there, treating everybody like garbage, being mean and rude, not putting value on stuff, and expect the Lord to bless you. It doesn't work like that. We need to make sure that we speak words of encouragement and of life and of love. Because remember, we talked about the tongue is a very dangerous weapon. The Bible actually says there's death and life in the tongue. Right? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Because if you're speaking life, you're talking an honorable life. If you're speaking death, you're showing dishonor, a lack of value. But you don't know what that person's done to me or what they've said to me or how they treated me. I know. And it's horrible. It's rough. Sometimes life is just not fair. Sometimes we go through things, and you know what? I don't know why we go through the things we go through sometimes. But we go through things. We live on an earth with a curse. There's an enemy. There's a devil. There's a reason, right? He's there pulling strings sometimes. But then we also got to keep in mind, too, on the Bible clearly states who we are fighting against. We wrestle against not what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Evil. The devil. You might be having a disagreement with somebody, or someone might come and attack you, but there's more to it than that. There's a driving force behind that person, or even you. Right? Is this good tonight? Are you ready to go home already? Shall I keep going? All right. You can handle it? You need to hear it? Wow. Turn over your Bibles to 1 Samuel, chapter 2. In 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 27, it shows us what happens when you don't deal with a situation the right way. And when you don't fully honor the Lord, it totally affects many different areas, and it can be absolutely devastating. So we'll start here, 1 Samuel, chapter 2. One day a man of God came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. I revealed myself to your ancestors, and when they were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly vests as he served me. And I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? And you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people Israel. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promise that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priests, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. That's a crazy warning right there. Eli was a high priest, guys, and a judge of Israel for 40 years. He trained Samuel, but he failed to do the right thing when it came to his own children. He did not bring correction to his sons, who too were priests at that time, but they did not obey the laws, and they were doing things that were just awful and that were completely dishonoring to God. And the consequences of their sin was actually their own demise. Verse 29, it says, the Lord asked Eli why he honored his sons more than God. They were in disobedience to the law. Eli dishonored God not by dealing with his own family, his own sons who were supposed to be leaders, but they abused their position and dishonoring the call that was on them. And then their father did not bring correction, which ultimately brought dishonor to God himself. Jump over to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 12. Now, the Lord gave him fair warning about what was going to happen. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 12. A man from the tribe of Benjamin ran from the battlefield and arrived at Shiloh later that same day. He had torn his clothes and put dust on his head to show his grief. Eli was waiting beside the road to hear the news of the battle.
for his heart trembled for the safety of the ark of God. When the messenger arrived and told what had happened, an outcry resounded through the town. "What is all that noise about?" Eli asked. The messenger rushed over to Eli, now who was 98 years old and blind. He said to Eli, "I have just come from the battlefield. I was there this very day." "Well, what happened, my son?" Eli demanded. "Israel has been defeated by the Philistines," the messenger replied. "The people have been slaughtered, and your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also killed, and the ark of God has been captured." When the messenger mentioned what had happened to the ark of God, Eli fell backward in his seat beside the gate. He broke his neck and died, for he was old and overweight. That's eating all the offerings, that guy. He had been Israel's judge for 40 years. Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near her time of delivery. When she heard that the ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth. And she died in childbirth. But before she passed away, the midwives tried to encourage her. "Don't be afraid," they said. "You have a baby boy." But she did not answer nor pay attention to them. She named the boy Ichabod, which means, "Where is the glory?" For she said, "Israel's glory is gone." She named him this because the ark of God had been captured and because her father-in-law and husband were dead. Then she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." Eli refused to do what was right and tell his sons to smarten up. And because of his disobedience and him not bringing correction to his own family at that time, the people that he was the head of, there was a lot of turmoil and tragedy that took place. We need to have a hard look at our own lives sometimes and be like, you know what? I think I better be paying attention to what the Lord is saying. Because we might be getting ourselves into issues when they're avoidable. I believe that this could have been avoidable for Eli. But it all boils down to obedience and disobedience. Honor and dishonor. Are you listening to me tonight? I know this is not a real glory shout and hallelujah, but this is good spiritual growth lesson right here. Because there's things in our lives we need to make sure that we're tightening up on. We live on an earth with a curse, and our job as believers is to slow sin decay. You know, the world out there is corrupt, called as it is. But we are supposed to be examples of Jesus Christ here on this earth. We need to show love, respect, and honor those people around us. That's our job. We need to put value on people. We need to put value on the things of the Lord. We need to put value on what we're called to do. We need to be proud of it. Not always do the most comfortable thing that brings us the comfort that we're always looking for. We need to do the right thing. I'm reminded of that scripture verse in the Bible, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because then all these things shall be added unto you." You go after the things of God, he's going to make sure you're taken care of. A lot of times we want to be taken care of before we go after the things of God. The sacrifice got to happen. We got work that we need to be doing. And there's lives out there that need to be changed. And we're the tools that need to be out there to do it. So, the cost of dishonor, guys, is extremely high. Eli didn't deal with the situation with his sons, and they paid that price. The scary thing is that our world believes that it's doing just fine. But we need to counteract this issue. What is our position to counteract the digression of honor in this generation? We need to start with these three things right here. First off, we need to be honoring God. Second of all, we need to be honoring ourselves. And third, we need to be honoring others. Now let's take a quick look at these before we close tonight. How do we honor others? In Romans chapter 12, verses 10 to 13, it says, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically.
Woo!
Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. The word here shows us how to treat others. Love one another, care for one another, be patient, and pray. Pray for each other. That's pretty basic. Love one another, care for one another, be patient, and pray for each other. That's how we show honor to others. How do we honor ourselves then? In honoring ourselves, we need to take care of the three parts of us. Our spirit is the real us. You know, we're made up of three parts, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Well, the real us, and that is what is directly connected to God. That's our spirit. Our soul is our thinking, our thoughts, our intellectual realm. And our body is what keeps everything together so we can exist here on Earth. It's our Earth suit. You know, when astronauts go to outer space, they have a space suit so they can survive in space. When scuba divers go in the ocean and go down deep, they have to have all their scuba gear on and breathing apparatus, and they have a special diving suit for that. Well, for us to live and exist here, we have to have our Earth suit, right? Now, we need to make sure that we're taking care of all those parts at the same time. We are God's creations, and if we don't honor ourselves, we're not truly honoring God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We all know this passage of Scripture. We'll look at it in the Amplified. But it shows us very clearly who we are. It says, "For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us." You are God's workmanship. You're his handiwork. God made you. So that should get you thinking for a second. If God made me, God don't make mistakes. Don't matter what other people tell you. Pay no attention. You're God's handiwork. God created you. Isn't that cool? Now, we sometimes tend to mess up a little bit and do our own remodeling and recrafting, trying to improve on certain things sometimes. But listen, God made you. Now, we've got a free will, and sometimes we make some silly decisions, but ultimately, God still made you. So, knowing who you are, that God created you, and not only that, he knows the plans that he has for you, and that he's got things already before you're even born, he knew about your life and what was going to take place. Come on now. And the Bible tells us it's good things. Everyone say good things. How many of you believe that God's got good things in store for you? That's right. How many of you have already received some good things? That's right. You're not done yet. Because living a life according to the Word of God and living a life for Christ, it only gets gooder and gooder. That's really horrible English. Everyone say good things again. Say, I got some good things. Because God gave me good things. And I have more good things. That's good. That's so good. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Every fiber of your being is God's. So, let me save you a lot of heartache and a lot of grief right now. Surrender yourself over to him, to his plan. Stop fighting him. Allow him to use you
And you'll be amazed to see where you'll go. And you'll be amazed to see things change in your life. Because we try to figure things out and go down our own path every now and then. You know, sometimes we like to be our own trailblazers, you know, paving the way, you know, and we'll go right over the cliff, right? But it's better when we allow God, who has that perfect plan and path set before us, when we use God's GPS instead of our own GPS, we're not going to end up lost somewhere. We're going to end up exactly where we're supposed to be. And that divine place, and that place called there, that God wants us. Amen. Wow, this is good. Now it's getting gooder. Now it's getting a little better. All right, here's another one for you. So we found out that we need to honor ourselves, that we honor others. Next one is, how do we honor God? Honoring God is actually a response to what he did for us. It's actually a response of him making us righteous. And us reciprocating that by living a life of holiness. And in that life of holiness, we honor our Father by being an honorable people. So we honor God by showing honor to our others, to ourselves, to those around us, living by faith. That's how that works, when we show honor to God, when we honor God. Now, showing honor to God is showing true humility. What you're basically saying is, you have your way with my life. Like the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom, humility, and precedes honor. What this means is, in order for us to have a life of honor, we have to have a life of humility also. How many humble people's in here? I love that question. I'm the humblest one of them all. There's no one greater at being humble than I am. Pick me, Pastor. And pick me. It's... John chapter 3, verse 30-31. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth, and we speak of earthly things. But he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. Sometimes we got to forget about me and forget about him and focus on him. Humility is one of those things that, I mean, a lot of times we, like, people want to feel good, right? Where do you establish that? And be having a pat on the back every now and then feels nice, right? Good job. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we get so full of ourselves and it's all about you, that's when we have an issue. Oh, I did this or I did that or look at me. You know, I can do this skill, I can do that skill, I can do right? But, you know, who gave you those skills, those gifts, those talents, those abilities? Where'd that come from? It came from God. And ultimately, we need to give all the glory and the praise to him. Because it's all about him. As believers, our life is about him. You know, what really gets me here, too, is that when Jesus was on, or in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was arrested, and before, like, come on, now it's Jesus. He'd done all these miracles, walked on water, fed thousands of people, healed, done this, done that. He is Christ, Savior of the world. Amen. I mean, if anyone had any right to be proud, it would be him, right? But he was not. There was not an ounce of that in him. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went off to pray. The boys all passed out having a nap, the disciples that he had with him. But he was praying with much vigor and agony in his prayer. And he said this, he goes, not my will, but your will be done. He said, "No." He said, Father, if there's any way that we can do this, you know, I'm up for that. But not my will,
Your will be done.
And I think if we prayed that prayer ourselves, our outcomes would be a little more different as well. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when we're honoring God, when we're honoring ourselves, and when we're honoring one another, we're living a life of honor. And then we're going to see the value. You're going to see things that you've never seen before. You're actually going to see people. We need to be willing to see people through the eyes of Christ. Because what if God never, what if you never got your second chance? What if you never got forgiveness? What if you continue to be judged all the time? We're going to have an issue, right? But praise God, we don't have to be like that. Because once we come to the Father, all of our sin and sickness is all washed away. Amen? We come into that perfect place where we're supposed to be with Him. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we need to grow up spiritually. We need to learn to honor properly. We need to get away from what's comfortable, but rather stick to what is right. Even in the difficult times, if you hold fast, God will see you through. The Bible says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's things in this life we don't understand why. We just have to trust God. Everyone stand. I know it's a bit of a different message tonight. Not a real glory shout and hallelujah one, but I think it was a good one. I think we all need to hear this. Speaking of being proud and building myself up, good message, Steve. No. I mean, I got my own toes stepped on tonight. Anyone else? Yeah. It's pretty bad when you step on your own toes. But let me tell you something, guys. It's important for us to be honorable people. So the challenge is tonight, let's up the honor. Let's up the value. Let's show love, respect. Because we want ultimately to receive the best that God has for each and every one of us. I don't want to miss out on what God has for me because of my stupidness. For my being ignorant. For me being proud and arrogant. I'm not perfect. Far from it. Kendra will amen that. Oh, Jerry fell over. He was powerful. Well, let me tell you this. We're learning. We're growing. And we're going to develop. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. You're in this place tonight. You need to get back on track with the Father. Nobody looking around. But if that's you, and you say, God, I need to make some things right in my life. With no one looking around, every eye head bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, if you need to make things right between you and God, I want you to raise your hand right now. See that hand? See the hands? Come on. Don't miss this opportunity. I don't want to embarrass nobody, but we're going to pray together. You might say, well, Pastor Steve, that was a thought-provoking message. And I need to adjust some things in my life about honor. I've been getting far too comfortable with things. And there's blurred lines. And if that's you, you've been struggling with that a little bit. I want you to raise your hand up too. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Thank you, thank you. I'm going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray together. I'm going to pray a prayer, and you're going to pray yourselves. And what we're going to pray is we're going to pray that God is going to help us, which He will. And we're going to thank Him for helping us. But first of all, we're going to dedicate our lives to Him. So, Father God, tonight I come before You. And Lord, You see our lives. You know, we're not perfect. But Father God, because of who You are, You see us as perfect. Now, Father God, I thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross for each and every one of our sins. And Father, tonight, we choose to follow You. We commit ourselves over to You 100%.
Father, you see those areas in our lives that we need to tighten up in. Sometimes we choose comfort over what is right. And there's other situations in our lives that we're on the cusp, we're on the edge, not where we need to be. But Father, tonight I thank you that you're going to help us. You're going to lead us and guide us to become honorable people. That tonight we choose to follow after you. Father, we thank you that we choose to do what is right according to your word. Now, Father, each person that's within the sound of my voice or watching online, Father, I just pray a special blessing over them today. That you'll be with them, guide them, and protect them. That as your word says, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. That, Father God, they are honorable men and women. That they honor you, others, and themselves. And that their thoughts and that the way they talk and the things that they do reflect you, Father. And Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory tonight. In Jesus' holy name.